You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
Triangle Tire, Tires for Life presents Dave's Corner Garage. The following is a paid program. Opinions on the show are always expressed with a certain joie de vivre. Please consult a doctor before listening, as laughter can be infectious. Buckle in, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car query? Call now, 416-360-0740, or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Yeehaw!
That was really enthusiastic, Al.
I studied and I practiced and I took some breathing lessons beforehand.
I think you're back at 100%.
All right. Yeah. Well, strangely enough, you know, as much as we want to think that the C thing is over, I was at a party last Saturday night.
Yes.
And 10 people have already got it.
Yeah.
Now, including the hostess, unfortunately.
Yeah. Oh, that's too bad.
So, and the three people that were with masks and everybody was pointing and laughing at were the only smart ones.
Now, did they get it?
I don't know. Uh-huh. I don't know. We didn't do a head count.
You know, it's I hate to say it, but it's kind of really infectious.
Yeah, well, and the fact that, you know, the bad weather's coming and, you know, a little nip in the air. And that means that people spending more time indoors rather than out.
That's right.
And the windows of the car will be closed rather than open. So a number of things we could talk about. We're going to be talking about tires today.
We're going to talk about all kinds of things today. We've got Darren Brissens from Triangle Tire joining us in the middle of the show. And, you know, it's the time of year you got to start thinking about winter tires, of course.
Yes. And it's amazing how it's like the weather report knew the date, you know.
Yeah.
And it exactly happened on the first day of autumn.
You know, we had such a great long summer, and then it's like the weather just switched overnight.
Yes, I begged the wife to turn the furnace on last night because I walked in the house and I said, why is the house at 65 degrees? I'm freezing here. And
yeah,
she goes,
right.
Well, I don't know. Shall we turn it on? I said, yes. And by the way, she doesn't talk like that. It's just me talking like that.
Well, we'll see.
Because I know my mom's listening. She'd rat me out in a
oh,
second.
Really?
Too,
right? That's too bad. That's too bad.
And so it's changed. And we're starting to get some phone calls.
Yep.
My tire delivery guy is not quite active yet. I don't think, not until, a couple more weeks from now, you know, the storage facility, but we're starting to get calls.
That's good.
And which is good, exactly.
Yep.
Because don't all wait until December and expect that, you know, that storm that's imminent tomorrow.
That's right.
We all can't get in on time.
No. And you know, people can come to my house. I've got all the tools, but they don't want to know my rates.
Oh.
I'm way too expensive.
But you're happy to do them?
No.
Oh
no, that's why I'm really, you know, you want your winter tires and wheels swapped at my house. It's $2,000.
Oh, that's
I'll have it done in 15 minutes, no problem.
Wow, that's expensive.
Yeah,
yeah,
because I don't want to do it, Al.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's all right. And who else? Oh, we have PC Sean Shapiro on the show.
Yes, the voiceover cop himself, more famous than almost anybody I know.
You know what? When I hear his voice, I'm going, you sure he was a cop first and Boone is second?
This is the thing.
He's so good.
He's a real pro, and it's incredible. But yes, he was a motorcycle cop first.
Wow. Yeah, until he had a bit of a we have to compare scars, I think.
I think it's not good. I've seen photos.
No, it's the unfortunate part. You know, you're on a two-wheel vehicle and with nothing around you.
Yep. And he was on duty.
Yes.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, then we also have Daniel Morad.
Yes, friend of mine, racing driver.
And same thing, same mentality. You know, you're talking about open wheels opposed to sedan or coupe racing, eh?
Well, he's done kind of everything. Started in karts, done a lot of open wheel racing, and now he is a highly paid sports car racing driver.
You know, but it's one thing to say, okay, I'm going to go into that corner or get as close as possible to the guy beside me, when you have metal or plastic around the wheels as opposed to just a big donut spinning there looking for trouble. I mean, we saw it in the Formula One race a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
where two guys touched, and it was right over the top.
That's right.
So I don't know, different protection, different, and then of course, you know, look at Hinchcliffe. Of course, he had his big accident,
big wreck,
and as much as you think you've recovered, I think between the ears, it's always there, eh?
All the wrecks I have are very memorable. Yeah, that's for sure.
All right, between the ears, that's where we're going to be, between yours, and we've got some great information, and Brian and I'll be back right after this break. This is Dave's Corner Garage. Stick around.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max here in studio with my pal Alan Gelman, and it's a beautiful Saturday here, isn't it?
It is, but don't you wonder when all of a sudden, you know, somebody's in too much of a hurry and their time is more important than yours?
You mean like the other day when someone tried to run me over at the intersection by my house?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we were talking to Sean at the break, and he was saying that... you know, he was at a school or was it you?
Sean.
Yeah, talking about somebody on the horn at a crosswalk because the people weren't crossing the street fast enough. Wow. How come everybody all of a sudden is turning into an a-hole?
I have no idea. I don't know, just, you know, some common courtesy and basic manners would be helpful when you're driving.
Really, really. I mean, I'm somewhat aggressive, but I'm blown away by some of the stunts that I see people do, you know, in terms of... if there's nobody going to be turning left, then all of a sudden they take the left lane, and when the light changes, they scoot in front of you.
I've seen that from the right lane as well. People doing that.
Yeah.
We all know it's illegal, and they're probably not going to get a ticket for that. But honestly, it's a lot of this is silly, and the reasons we have those assigned lanes is so that traffic flows and everything works safely.
Well, exactly, provided that you have a half a brain and you're not in that much of a hurry. And we hear, you know, about accidents all the time, like just crazy stuff. But, you know, we have the technology to slow or eliminate some of this. As we know, a lot of collisions happen because people are still drinking.
Yeah.
And now the NTSB, which is the National Transportation Safety Board, I think I got that
right.
That's
correct,
In the U.S. of A., mm-hmm. are calling for passive alcohol detection systems in all new vehicles. In other words, there's going to be a little sniffer in there that's going to be going,
yeah.
What do I smell?
Yeah, well, it's a little bit more than that. So in that that big federal U.S. infrastructure bill that they passed last year,
uh-huh.
which was thousands and thousands of pages, buried in there was a kill switch for all new cars starting in 2025. And that's the idea. It's supposed to be about safety, but kill switches are going to be part of U.S. cars in 2025. So that'll be mandatory. And of course, Canada typically follows suit. So I'm sure.
So that's a go?
It is 100% a go in the U.S.
Uh-huh.
That bill was passed. And, you know, funny thing is, from my perspective, I deal with manufacturers all the time. They're not talking about it. They're not talking about the implications of this. And Canada will follow suit. We generally take that kind of legislated safety tech and maintain that for our Canadian market cars as well.
Okay, but do they have the bugs, you know, ironed out? Because
no.
Let's say, for example, you're going to be the DD. You're mm-hmm. going to be the one who's drinking soda pop and taking your buddies home because they're all plastered. So they get in the car first. The car says, screw you. I'm not starting. I'm smelling booze.
That's right. How
does it know which seat it's coming from?
Exactly. So I don't know how any of this is actually going to work. And I don't think there's enough time to actually implement it to ensure that everybody is going to be safe.
Well, maybe to do on the screen, you know, one of these things is not. Can you identify the traffic light in every one of these pictures? And if you're impaired, of course, you won't be able to do it.
That's right. It'll be a little test before you start the car.
Buddy, what are you doing? We want to go home. You know, I'm going as fast as I can, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, so crazy stuff. But when you call it a kill switch, you mean it a prevent to start switch?
No, it's actually a remote kill switch.
Okay.
So it's a little bit different than that NTSB announcement this week, but it's a remote kill switch. The whole idea is that so law enforcement can shut off a car remotely if they believe the driver is impaired or is driving erratically, dangerously, or whatever the case is.
Actually, I had a leasing fellow in, Les is his name,
mm-hmm.
Super nice guy, and he unfortunately had a customer's car stolen.
Yep.
And he had an Apple tag on it.
Oh, yes.
So they knew where the car was.
Yes.
So they phoned the police.
Yes.
And the police said, well, what do you want us to do? And he went, no. Hello, are you listening? Okay.
Right.
Someone has stolen my car. I know where it is. could we all meet there and maybe have a party? And they went, yeah, it doesn't really work like that. We need like a search warrant and all the rest of it. And it was like, okay. So
okay, here's the data.
Yeah. So they hung up the phone, and then they saw the vehicle start to move again.
Yes.
And eventually they knew, it's now out of town. And then they called the next police department.
Of course.
Who said, well, it's outside of our jurisdiction. and he said, in essence, they had everybody that they could arrest, you know, and certainly grab the car.
Right.
But nothing was done. And to the point where they saw the car getting loaded on the dock of the bay.
Really?
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah. And especially now, so because you can't get another car to replace that one because production is so slow.
Exactly. That's the challenge.
Crazy.
That's wild. And of course, you know, it's whatever that home, the local app is. Mm-hmm. I don't use it. My wife uses it. But the people in our neighborhood complain about their SUVs getting stolen all the time.
The neighborhood.
Yes, our neighborhood is, you know, we've got all these high-end SUVs, and of course, nobody has garages, so they park them outside, and, you know, the thieves know how to gain access to the car and take it away.
Yes, I heard more people talk about Faraday boxes and,
yep.
You know, the or just forgetting to lock the door altogether and cars getting rifled through and looking for change. Because in a lot of cases, it's just, you know, poor people looking for a coin.
Well, a family member lives not far from where we are in the studio right now and had their SUV stolen out of their driveway.
But that's more of a professional thing, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It was purely electronic. They didn't break into the house for the keys. It was purely electronic, and the car was gone one morning.
In fact, I don't know if they've got it here, but I saw a story about, high school and university kids just for kicks.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Apparently, certain models of Kia or Hyundais who don't have a chip.
Yep.
Are very easy to break in and steal.
Right. And it's all over the internet.
These are people who just have too much time on their hands. They're not even selling the car.
Right.
Like, they're not professionals.
Yep.
It was like, okay, you got 4 minutes. Let's see if you can do it.
Right.
And, here, hold my beer.
Right.
Because, look, there's the car. Let's see if we can do that. Here, bring up the YouTube video. We can watch, and it'll show us step by step.
Right, exactly.
Information, isn't it great?
It is wonderful
it's
sometimes.
It's at our fingertips, eh?
Yes.
All right, speaking of information, we're going to be talking to Sean Shapiro after the break. He's got, I'm sure if he was listening to us, he may have some answers
and some precise thoughts about the law.
Or give us heck for even bringing it up.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Yeah, well, because I didn't want to be... I mean, the boys in blue are always doing their best. They
are.
Yeah, except for the ones that are sleeping. All right, we got to go. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be back with Sean Shapiro, hopefully, unless he refuses to answer his phone
after that. That's possible.
All right, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with my pal Alan Gelman. And on Skype, sounding better than both of us, is PC Sean Shapiro from the Toronto Police Service. Sean, how are you?
I'm awesome. How you doing?
We're okay.
Were you listening to us by chance?
I was not. I was standing in my closet waiting for the connection to ring.
Because we wondered if you were going to answer the phone, because we were talking about, you know, specifically one of the customers of mine is in the car leasing business, and he was so ticked off because one of his customers had his brand new Highlander stolen, and it had an Apple AirTag on it, and they phoned the local constabulary to say, hey, my car got stolen and I can tell you where it is, and they went, so? They really weren't interested in going to find it. They said, well, no, here's the address, okay? And now in the end, the long story is the car's gone, and now they have to find another new one. But he was so ticked off because nobody wanted to do anything about it. Technology's great, but can we apply it that way?
Well, I have an AirTag in my car, and I can tell you what I've heard many have done, and what I would do is I would go find it, and if it was safe to do so, I'd just go take my keys and drive it home.
Yeah, well, you're also, you know, 6'6" and a police officer, so, you know, that's easy to facilitate for you, but regular folks, that might be a little bit more of a challenge.
No, certainly. I wouldn't suggest, doing that if it was unsafe, but we've heard lots of stories where people take these cars and then put them somewhere for them to cool off. And there might be an opportunity for you to simply recover it. I've heard various stories where police weren't in a position to go and simply take it, but I'm not involved with that sort of the retrieval or investigation of stolen vehicles. So I don't have a lot of experience as to why or why they would not get active on that.
Well, in this particular case, they said, oh, well, we need a search warrant, and there's a whole lot of work to get a search warrant, which was kind of weird. And in the end, the guy was like, it's no wonder our stupid insurance costs so much because nobody seems to care, and if we have to pay out for another car, well, we'll just pay it. But there you go.
Interesting. Yeah, if it was inside of a premise, there would be a lot of work to do that.
Right.
But it's an interesting conversation.
So again this week, as we talked about before the show, I was almost run over in a four-way intersection near my house, and people can't seem to wait during rush hour to go from one stop sign to the next stop sign. And, bad driving continues in this city.
I think bad driving is an epidemic. We have a problem with people who are very self-absorbed. They're in a rush, and everything's really important to them. And they're forgetting that there's a lot of other people out on the road, vulnerable road users that we're all responsible for. I'm sorry that you had that experience because it's not a fun one. And I just last week went to my kid's school for parent-teacher night. As I was waiting out in front, I watched a driver sit on their horn to, communicate their unhappiness with the folks who were crossing on a crosswalk in front of a school. So I've seen it all.
Wow. Wow.
So you didn't go off on the sidewalk and go around. My dad did that a couple times.
Really?
Yeah, and actually got caught once.
Oh, boy.
There was an on-duty policeman saying, where the hell do you think you're going? And he was going, I'm just going around. He says, you shouldn't drive your car up on the sidewalk, sir.
Some things I'd like to believe don't need to be said.
Well, exactly. You would think so. Actually, I could tell another story how... I got caught for speeding with my learner's permit, and my dad didn't have his driver's license on him.
No.
And the policeman that stopped us really tore a strip off my dad. He says, you're supposed to be teaching the kid how to drive properly, number one. Number two, he's speeding, and you don't have your license. I don't get it. I should be giving you the ticket, but I can't do that. There you go.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So all kinds of stupid stuff going on. And... oh, my God.
Well, that's a short segment.
We're still talking about what we wanted to talk about.
Exactly. Sean, how do people find you?
You can get me at Traffic Services on TikTok, but you can also go to our Linktree. It's linktr.ee/traffic services. It'll get us to all our social media.
And you're voiceover cop on Twitter and Instagram and other platforms as well, right?
Absolutely. That's me.
So going out, just tell people to chill, eh?
Yeah, cool it. You know what? Give yourself some extra time. Get to where you want to go safely without getting any tickets.
I saw that sign on the Gardener this morning, and it said, plan ahead, leave early, get there safely. Or something like that.
That sounds about right.
Sean, have yourself a great weekend. All right.
Always a pleasure. I'll do my best. Take care.
All right. After the break, we have Darren Bossens of Triangle Tire with us on the phone anyways.
It's tire season again.
It is. I can hardly wait. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Alan Gelman. And speaking of Triangle Tire, we have Darren Bossens from Triangle Tire with us on the line. Darren, how are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm doing well. Thanks, Brian. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great. A little chilly downtown Toronto.
It is a little chilly out this way, too. I have to apologize, too. I slept in this morning. I didn't wake up till like 10 after 9, so...
Good work.
In there today.
Well, it's funny. I was reading on the website, the Triangle Factory is fully automated with German engineers and builders, and I thought, well, they didn't build, Darren's watch or clock, that's for sure.
Definitely not.
The alarm clock, anyway. But that's okay. We've got you on the line, and as we always talk about this time of year, it's kind of tire season right now. People got to think about going from their summer treads to their winter treads.
Yeah, it's a depressing part of the year, I find. I like going the other way, going from winters to all season. That's my favorite time of the year. But we are getting close to that 7-degree mark at night anyways. We're probably going to see 7-degree sometime in October more consistently. So that's the time you want to kind of get everything changed over to your winter tires.
So it's not so much the tread depth as opposed to the rubber composition.
No, it's definitely the rubber composition. It, as we've spoke before, it You know, winter tires stay soft and supple in colder temperatures. If you run an all season, or even worse, a summer tire, the compounding will start to freeze up in those, you know, below 7 degrees, and then it becomes less sticky. You're going to slide, slip, and potentially get in an accident.
You know, it's funny. I don't watch a lot of Formula One, but I watched a few weeks back, and the whole beef they were having was which speed rating tires was somebody allowed to put on their car, because they let them, they have all three different, you know, temperature ratings at the track, and it shows you, guess what, is maybe just 10 or 15 degree difference is enough to change the tire.
Oh, especially for racing. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, even more so for racing. It's, and people don't realize, like, we used to call them snow tires in the old days. I remember Dave would always still call them snow tires. But they're essentially winter tires. It's more based on the temperature. Obviously, the tread design is constructed in a different way to give you more biting edges and more traction in the snow or slush. But it's really more the temperature, because the rubber and the all-season tires start to harden up. And as you can understand, harder rubber is not going to give you the traction that you require.
Well, especially, you know, with climate change to a degree. I mean, we don't get the snow that we used to, certainly not in the big city. And if we do have snow, it's pretty much, you know, pushed away within a day or two. But you're still down to slush and cold and icy pavement. And that's where you need that softer rubber, eh?
Definitely. And the forbidden black ice, you know, you can have stretches of the highway or stretches of the road where it's clear, then out of nowhere you've got some freezing condensation there, which you end up getting, you know, they call it black ice. You don't really see it. You know, in all seasons, you're definitely going to be in the rhubarb, where at least with winters, you've got that fighting chance.
Now, you guys have an all-weather tire as well. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes. All-weather tires are, you know, they're the three-peak mountain snowflake, which is the symbol that tells you that it's constructed for winter. So it's kind of a blend of an all-season and a winter, if you will. So you're not going to get quite the performance in the winter as you would on on an all-weather tire as you would get on a complete winter tire, and as well in the all-season or the summer side of things, it's not going to be as good as a standard all-season. So it kind of gives you a blend, but it's not as good as a winter and a summer tire, or now, all-season, I should say.
On the plus side, if you're getting a break from your insurance company because you use winter tires, the all-weather ones do comply, do they not?
They do. As long as they're a three-peak mountain snowflake, you're good to go.
Yeah, I remember recently I was driving an EV, I'm not gonna say what it was, and it had some very low rolling resistance tires on it. And I was driving at a point in the day where the temperature came down, and boy, those tires did not like to stick to the asphalt.
No, especially with the torque of an EV vehicle, you can break them loose very easily on a normal day. But when it starts to get cold like that, you're definitely going to be wandering around a bit.
Oh, yeah. And of course, EVs are, you know, they're all heavy. This was a 5,000-pound EV as well. So that the weather and the physics of this EV just didn't add up. They were not happy together.
No. And people have to realize the tires are the only part touching the ground, right?
Right.
You know, there's a lot of safety components, you know, seat belts, brakes, you know, all these things are part of the safety of a vehicle. But the only thing really touching the ground is are the tires. So
yes.
You want to make sure that you've got the proper tires.
Should be touching the ground is the right thing to say.
Yes.
Well, I know last year there was a problem with...
They rub.
Sorry, but I understand last year that there was a bit of a shortage on a specific size, and apparently Tesla decided that they would buy everything that was available and left everybody high and dry.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, but obviously now you're saying that EVs require special tires, eh?
Definitely. As Brian attested, low rolling resistance and quieter tires, so, you know, tread design has a lot to do with... you know, how loud the tires can be. So with electric cars having no other, you know, engine sound or they're very quiet, you want to have tires that are very quiet, and then low rolling resistance, because that helps longevity with the batteries.
So I guess we should send that out as a warning to people. If you're going to buy winter tires for your EV, that you may want to know that you're buying an extra hum too.
Because, yeah, exactly.
Right. And but you guys have no way of knowing prior to, before you put one on, if it's going to be noisy at all?
If you look at, because there's tires that are basically constructed for EV vehicles.
Okay.
That would have that low decibel or low volume, if you will, noise. But when it comes to winters, I'm not even sure if there's an actual EV winter tire. I think there might be one or two manufacturers making them right now. You're going to see more of it as time moves forward, but you definitely want to stick to an EV tire if you're driving an electric vehicle.
Well, again, I mean, they're selling these cars in Canada. We get snow.
Exactly. You know? Yes.
So,
as you know, Quebec, it's a law. You have to have winter tires on.
Exactly. So I guess, well, I learned the hard way because, when you talked about that noise, I put a set of tires on my buddy's Kia, I guess. I forget what model it was, but full-on electric. And he called me back the next day and said, Al, I got a weird noise. And I went, well, no, I drove it. It sounded fine. And then he come by and I drove it, of course, in town looking for like a wheel bearing sound or something, mm-hmm. which is what his explanation was. And I didn't hear anything. He said, oh, no, you got to go like 120. And then you hear it, you know, and then of course, in the end, we realized that his summer tires, because we hadn't taken one apart, because we bought a set of rims, so put them on, but didn't realize that there was a band of foam inside the rubber tire that yeah. some manufacturers do put in to cut down the sound.
I've heard about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a few of them that use that. I know the service guys find them very annoying, trying to get them back into the tire when they put new tires on. But, Teslas definitely have it, and a few others do. So it's all about the noise or the lack thereof.
Now, for people who haven't heard of Triangle, you guys have been around for an awful long time, correct?
Yeah, over 40 years. Great manufacturer, as you said in the beginning. They, it's very automated factory. There's hardly any people in it. You could eat off the floor. It's high quality product.
And full line of tires for cars, light trucks. You do trucks. You do like bigger trucks. If anybody is there, any tractor trailer drivers listening, you put tires out for them as well.
Absolutely. Yep. Triangle manufactures. PLT, as you said, also STR, like the specialty trailer. Mm-hmm. We talk about that regularly on the show.
Right.
Medium truck, which would be your tractor trailers, and then right up into OTR, which would be off-road, like mining tires, construction, industrial, those types of tires as well. So it's full line.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but last 2 years, everybody talks about supply chain. And how are you guys now that we're almost into 2023, any issues with supplying tires to Canada?
No, it's everything seems to be fine as far as production-wise. I think globally, the demand has dropped, or at least the supply has met the demand. We're still seeing problems with supply chain, though, as far as ocean freight. It's come down dramatically over the last, 4 or 5 months, but there's still some glitches in the system, between rail, over the road. They're still trying to, most trucking companies are struggling to find drivers still. So there is some delays there, but I don't think you're going to see any kind of shortages like we have in the last year, the last winter and the winter before.
Apparently at the docks too, they've been, ships are just sitting there loaded and they don't have dock workers to unload them, eh?
Yeah, that's it. And I don't know where everybody's gone. All these, people that used to work, every tire shop I talk to has the same problem as well. They can't find employees. It's going to be a different winter in the sense of, a lot of the owners or the managers are going to be out changing tires because you just can't find people to do the work anymore.
I was going to say, grab the smock, grab the gloves.
Get to work. Maybe I might have to set up a
customers.
Sorry, say again, Darren?
I said I might have to go help some of my customers.
Yeah, absolutely. I, and we were talking earlier, I might have to set up a little shop at my house.
There you go. A little side hustle.
That's right.
There you go. Don't leave it to the last minute because there's going to be a big lineup. And
That's for sure. Not. Yeah, if you're looking for winter tires, now's the time to buy and make your appointment.
TriangleTire.ca, correct?
Correct, TriangleTire.ca.
Darren, have yourself a great weekend.
Yep, you guys too. Thanks very much for your time.
All right, thanks for joining us. All right, we've got a racy guy after the break.
Yes, racing driver, real one.
Oh, so legitimately he's allowed to drive fast.
Yeah, he's got a license for it.
Do they have a horn?
No.
Oh. This is Dave Carter Garage. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Alan Gilman. And on the phone with us is a friend of mine who happens to be a real deal professional racing driver. It's Daniel Morad. Big D, how are you?
Doing well. How about you guys?
Not too bad. So being a professional racing driver today is a little different than what it's been traditionally. And you do a bunch of things as a professional racing driver. So there's the act of driving. But then you also do a lot of work with simulators, not just in terms of entertaining people, but with your, you know, pedaling, but also you do some coaching on the simulator as well, in addition to coaching drivers in the real world. Is that about right?
Yeah, it's crazy how I would say I'm more of a businessman than a sportsman nowadays. It's transitioned so much. You've had to be really creative, especially with the change in the world, economics, the way the world works, the flow of everything. So, motorsports has gone through a massive change. And with the accessibility of simulators and how easy it is for anyone to just jump on, whether you have entry-level equipment or, top-tier equipment.
Like you do.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm proud of my stuff. I have some great partners, but top-tier equipment. It really bridges that gap between the virtual world and reality.
But question, I mean, when people talk about driving simulators, I'm thinking back to like a video game, in terms of everybody would, get one of these cartridges for their Game Boy or whatever and play it at home, and you could buy a plastic steering wheel and everything. But this is like way beyond that. It's not a game, although apparently guys do compete professionally, right?
Yeah, well, technically, there's a huge debate online. It's like, do you put pineapple on pizza? Like that's the debate. Is sim racing a game or is it a sim? Well,
okay.
I mean, I'll answer this. It's a game of the sim racing genre. Okay. That's exactly that's what it is. It's simulating reality, but it is a game.
And it's, for our listeners, I wanted to sort of describe it in that, visually, yeah, you've got the depiction of the car going down the racetrack. But physically, you've got a steering wheel and a pedal set where the forces are very, very close to that of your real race car.
Exactly. I mean, there are sim drivers that convert to real life racing. They have the opportunity and they do extremely well immediately. So it doesn't always happen. It's like I've seen coming up through my development in racing, I went from go-karts, from karting, and I was a successful karting driver, and some of my peers that were challenging me on the kart track jumped into cars and were nowhere, right? They were a second or two off the pace. So it could be the same thing, right? It's not one-to-one. You can't just go, oh, I'm a great sim driver, I'm going to be a great racing driver, and vice versa. You can't just be a great racing driver and be a great sim driver.
Well, we're seeing that. Right.
Differences.
And we're seeing that now. I mean, you think if you've got the feel in your bum that you know how far you can push a car or how good the tires are. But here, look at Jimmy Johnson, who is a 7-time NASCAR winner, goes into Indy and so far hasn't done a whole lot. So there you go. I mean, you're still pushing on the gas. You still got brakes and steering. Just a different car, different style, different tracks, I guess. Is that it?
Yeah, I mean, for me primarily, I drive by the seat of my pants. Like I'm,
right.
I would say that I'm not a data-driven driver. I'm very good in changing conditions, and for me, transitioning into the simulator was actually quite a challenge. I had to relearn certain things, and to be honest, it actually helped me a lot in the real world as well, because the areas where I was deficient, let's say more in the technical side, understanding what's happening underneath me. Whereas I just jump in any car, any situation, and just go fast. That's kind of what I would always do. but it's actually unlocked a whole new opportunity and potential for me, which arguably has made me even better in real life now, funny enough, driving the sim, because it does force you to focus on more like reference points and be conscious of what you're doing rather than just subconsciously drive.
Now, you, your background, you grew up in Markham?
I did.
And you're a professional race car driver. I mean, and in a number of different series, I understand.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. Like I said in the beginning of the segment, I'd say I'm more of a businessman now than than racing driver. I mean, the sports evolve so much, and you know, we've started businesses on the back of racing. For instance, Moradness, which is my clothing company, it's a lifestyle clothing company that's motivated by motorsport. And you know, just trying to put my eggs in multiple baskets rather than all in one, because just like that, you snap your fingers and racing could be over, right? And a lot of sportsmen or women, sports people, do not think about that. They just think, okay, this is what I'm doing right now, but I'm trying to future-proof it and really expand my horizon, sim racing, real racing, clothing, training, coaching, whatever it may be. And I have a lot of passion in all of those elements as well.
Well, it's good that you've got the foresight. I mean, as it happens, I mean, there's people whose their goal their whole life is to become a professional athlete, whether it's, you know, stick and ball or something like that. And something happens in the amateur ranks and they're done. And it was like, oh, geez, I should listen to my parents and actually studied in high school, but I never did.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say just find things you're passionate about. And, you know, it's great to be like narrow, you know, narrowly focused on your goals.
Sure.
But you also need to allow a small capacity for a little bit of a deviation in the path. Because for me, I thought I was going to be a Formula One world champion and I was on the path to that. But then, you know, the politics got involved and I quickly realized that winning wasn't everything. Even though I had been winning everything and breaking records on my way up the ranks, I was dropped from some, you know, Formula One junior programs because of politics rather than success, because I just won.
Wow. And you would think it, again, it'd be all goal orientated. And if I'm at the top of my game, wouldn't everybody want me?
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking. And it's almost shaped me into the person I am today, because I quickly realized, thankfully, from a young age, that it wasn't peachy rainbows and you know, you don't just follow the yellow brick road to your glory. There you know, there's a lot of obstacles in the way, and you know, for me, I come from a very humble background, I would say, and I've had to earn everything I have in my life. And yeah, so it's just being quick on your feet and just kind of putting your boat in the river and just allowing the flow to take you to where you need to go.
Well, you've done quite all right. You've got the big trophy in sports car racing, which is that Rolex Daytona they give you when you win the 24 hours of Daytona.
Yeah, it's okay. It doesn't make me any better on my punctuality, but it does look nice on my wrist.
You got $1 million watch, but you're never on time. I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's ironic because you would think as a race car driver, you'd be driving fast and being on time, but I am a turtle on the road. I take my time in life. I really, I dedicate all of my speed to the racetrack, and I just love to live life relaxed and enjoy every moment.
Well, Big D, if people want to find you, where's the best place to find you?
Well, I'm live on Twitch, so twitch.tv/Moradness. You can live, interact live with me or on my socials, which is at Daniel Morad for mostly everything. And if you're looking to pick up any beautiful clothing that's motorsport inspired, you can go to moradness.com.
Yeah, it's great stuff. I have a few pieces, as you know.
Yeah, I got you.
That's right.
You have that that checkered flag set of socks or just the vest? I think it's a combination. Yeah. It goes together.
We can do it all.
There you go. Daniel, thank you very much for joining us. Have yourself a great weekend.
Thank you. You guys as well.
All right. We'll be back after this break.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max here in studio with Alan Gelman. And, you know, I love talking to Daniel. And one thing that that we don't really ever touch on is that motorsports is a great industry to work in.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds so diversified, but again, you know, just you can't just keep your eyes focused on the prize, because something could happen.
Yeah, well, there's all kinds of things can happen. I mean, it's a tough business, and yes, to a certain degree, the cream does rise to the top. But other things happen, and you miss opportunities, and very, very few drivers actually make it to the top.
Well, exactly, and that's why you tell your star athletes, you're the star of the football team, but who's to say you're going to make the bigs? Or even if you're on the path and everything goes right, that you don't have an unfortunate injury that. That mm-hmm. career ends,
Yep.
I was surprised, though, when he said, and Sean, I'm sure if he's still listening, he'd be happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
He says, when I drive on the normal street, I drive like a turtle.
Yep. Yeah, that's most racing drivers.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And, the thing is with, driving on the road is totally different than driving on the racetrack. The racetrack is it's a completely safe environment, relatively speaking. Obviously, you can crash, but, there's no cross traffic. There's communication between the driver, the crew, the driver, and the officials, all of that stuff. So it's a very safe and dry environment to drive fast rather than on public roads.
Yeah. So, and you don't have pedestrians, hopefully.
I've never encountered any.
On the racetrack?
No. But the occasional animal.
I was going to say, yeah. How about a raccoon or a skunk crossing the track?
I've seen up to dogs,
uh-huh.
and I've heard of deer crossing into the racetrack.
Like up at Mosport?
They probably do at Mosport. I've never seen any there,
uh-huh.
but at other circuits in North America, absolutely.
Wow, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, even with tall fences and everything they do, they can't keep the wildlife out all the time.
No, and sometimes inebriated spectators do the same thing.
I heard about that. I think you're familiar with that, not me.
I can drive better. I'm going to show them how. No, buddy, sit down. No. I wonder now with more gambling apps, because car racing could be higher up on the agenda for those guys?
I think it's there. I mean, I'm not a gambler by any stretch of the imagination, but I know in Vegas mm-hmm. they've got a platform for it. So you can gamble against NASCAR, IndyCar, probably Formula One as well, and do all the betting stuff. I don't know that world. But.
Yeah, they used to actually have a guy come on NASCAR Race Hub, and he'd talk about the odds, for that
sure.
weekend. Yeah, yeah.
Wild.
As a matter of fact, and this year it's crazy because they've had 19 different winners, because normally it's the winners happen between three or four people who win most of the races,
right?
Because they race to the top. But this year it's been all different. They got a brand new car, and
yes.
for various reasons, it's taken time to work out the bugs.
I gotta say, my favorite team is Trackhouse because they came out of nowhere,
right?
They bought the assets of Chip Ganassi's NASCAR operation.
Mm-hmm.
They have two cars, two drivers, and of course they brought in Kimi Räikkönen from Formula One for a road race,
mm-hmm.
and they've done very well this year.
Yeah, and it's funny because here we've got so last year's winner of the whole championship series, who won five or six races,
mm-hmm.
has only won one this year.
Yes,
and could get bounced out of the playoffs. So
wow.
it's kind of weird. I mean, as you say, the cream rises to the top. So of course, the Hendricks cars are at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of Hendricks, they're putting together a program.
Yeah, Garage 56.
Yes, and we were talking about it, and we told Daniel he should give them a call because they're going to be running a Le Mans car because they want to show the Europeans that in terms of technology and ability that they're right at the top because the Europeans still thinking that the NASCAR boys are rum runners and jailbirds and whatnot.
Yeah, well, that's tradition and all that and history. But no, the new car is quite adept and it's great for road racing.
Mm-hmm.
So this Garage 56 car will be an adaptation for of the NASCAR to run at Le Mans next year. It's going to be very exciting.
So keep your eyes open for Daniel. He's going to be a star of this. Well, he is already. But
yeah, he may be racing at Road Atlanta for Petit Le Mans next weekend. That'll be on television, I'm sure.
Okay, and want to thank Darren Bossens from Triangle Tire, of course, for joining us. And if you need tires, check out their website, First Line Tires for Value Prices. And they have road hazard warranty, which a lot of people don't have anymore.
That's great. That's a good peace of mind right there.
And our friend Sean Shapiro.
Yes.
He sounds too good. I'm kind of jealous.
He's a pro. He's a pro.
Just like Carlos. We got to run. Everybody drive safe. We'll see you next week. This has been Dave's Corner Garage. Bye-bye.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.